website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news. You're listening to The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted that you've joined us today as we face the issues. And we always, always, always look forward to your dialogue and discussion. Therefore, lest I forget it, let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. I have Dr. Neil Phelps with me today. Dr. Phelps and I will be talking about a subject that I believe we need to look at, analyze, and understand. Let me just put it this way. The issue today, how can you identify the real Christian? How can you identify the real Christian? You know, back a number of years ago, there was a television program with the real Mr. Jones or Ms. Smith stand up. And they would have three or four candidates, and they would give each one of those candidates, each one of those people, an individual's talk, tell something about their background, what they were doing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to let the one then that's supposed to determine the real Mr. Jones or the real Ms. Smith. I'm using, of course, fallacious names, but whatever it would be, might have been somebody that had invented something, somebody that was very famous, et cetera, et cetera, and that one would be part of the three or four panel that would give answers to make it sound as though they're the real person. So in today's scenario of ideas and thoughts in today's philosophical mindset, there are multitudes of people that claim to be Christian. We're going to identify today in this broadcast, we'll talk about four kinds of Christians. Four kinds of Christians. And then we'll determine which one is the real Christian. Who identifies the real Christian? Ladies and gentlemen, today we have all heard Joe Biden. Let me start out with this. Perhaps you've heard it. That's not the focus of the broadcast, but it's the latest news tip that Joe Biden has pardoned his son, Hunter. Not only he pardoned him from all the crimes that he's done, but he's also pardoned him in advance for any crime that he may have done that's not been discovered yet. So it's what is would be called a full blanket pardon. And yet five times in the past year, year and a half, at least five times that I have knowledge of, Joe Biden publicly has said, quote, I will not pardon my son. I will not pardon my son. He's made that statement. The pardon was given, and Joe Biden has publicly, dogmatically stated that he's not going to do so, but he has. And we know that Sleepy Joe has never, ever, ever handled the truth very well. And ladies and gentlemen, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and Joe Biden, all of them have been habitual liars, as we have seen. And yet, listen, all of them say that they are professing Christians. Hear me. Is anything wrong with that picture? What's wrong with that statement? How do we identify the real Christian? What are the elements that determine true Christianity? So, ladies and gentlemen, that's what we'll be analyzing and looking at. Inviting your telephone call, 904-831-0917. I'm going to have a brief monologue, and after the monologue, our telephone lines will be open. We'll embrace your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion. Perhaps you have consternation and questions yourself about what makes a real Christian. Perhaps you have the question, are you really a Christian? What is a Christian? What is the identifying elements of Christianity today that perhaps we're not seeing in the modern culture that we're in? So, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it the Truth Book. John 8:31 and 32, the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth shall make you free. Part and parcel, by the way, of being a disciple of Jesus is the continuation, constantly being in, constantly studying, constantly reading, constantly absorbing the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And Jesus says, and the truth shall make you free. It's the truth of the Word of God. Then Jesus says in John 14:6, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, the scripture in a very dogmatic way makes a statement, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that according to Psalms 117 and verse 2, endures forever. But yet we're in a society today where truth is mishandled, truth is denied, truth is bifurcated in so many occasions. And yet a half-truth is a whole lie. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we find that taking place today. But truth matters regardless of the side of the aisle that you're on. Truth matters regardless of whether you want to embrace it, believe it, and accept it or not. Truth still matters. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that made a dogmatic statement about truth, in part out of about a two-page article. Let me read you part of what Jim DeMint says. Former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint said this, what we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in the Christian churches. That perhaps could be a rudimentary, elemental thought about what we're discussing today. How do you identify the real Christian? How do you identify the real Christian? There are a number of people across denominational lines in our churches in America today that call themselves Christians. Call themselves Christians. And it goes back to what Jim DeMint said, the former U.S. Senator. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume that whatever we believe is true and real, and yet that is precisely, hear me, this is what DeMint said, that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches. And yet we find, according to the latest survey, 55% of the younger Americans, headline, most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. The article further states 55% of the millennial age group say each person determines their own version of truth. There's not but one version of truth. And yet we find there's an attempt to bifurcate truth in just about every element of society. It's bad enough to find it in the political world, but it's horrific when you understand that that's an attempt in the realm of Christianity and the churches, where there's a whole host of people today that claim to be Christian, and as we'll look at in a moment, that are simply misidentifying true biblical Christianity, claiming to have something they do not have. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. I believe that's where we need to stand today. Seeking it, loving it, learning it, living it, telling it, and being willing to stand and defend the truth, even if it means the loss of our life. You say, well, how could that come about? Remember, Jesus reminds us that the world hated him first, and if the world hated him, the world's going to hate us, we as Christians. And there's a animus today as never before for the true Christian. Listen carefully. The Apostle Paul said that if we're Christian, I'm going to paraphrase, Christians will be persecuted, hated of all people. And we're finding that to be factual today. So how do you say that I'm saved, I'm a Christian, and you're embracing the world's view, embracing society, and there's no uphill battle for you? Satan is not trying to defeat you. You need to check up to see if you're really saved. Again, a quote from Jan Hus, the 15th century theologian and church reformer. Jan Hus says this: do not be afraid to stand alone if it means standing for what is true. And I admonish each of us each day to do that. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. You say, well, how do I find that? Ladies and gentlemen, there's an identifier on the campus of Tools for Time. There's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole is the U.S. flag, Old Glory, flowing 24/7. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, our telephone lines are open, 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. I have Dr. Neil Phelps with me today. Dr. Phelps is one of the professors of Bible and Theology in Conservative Theological University. We're going to talk about how do you identify the real Christian. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, one of the more serious underlying issues that continues to cause moral, ethical decay in our culture today is the question of spirituality. Spirituality. Because we live in America, which is known as a Christian nation, does that make every citizen, listen, just because you live in America, does that make you a Christian? Someone said, if that is the case, then you can park your car in the garage and you can become a car. You can sleep in the garage, you can become a car. Or you can go down and sleep on the parking lot of McDonald's and become a hamburger if just being in a Christian nation. There are a lot of people that call themselves Christians because mom and dad are Christians, because they've been involved in a Christian church all of their lives. They grew up in a Christian church, grew up hearing the gospel, grew up knowing about sin and salvation, but simply have become deadened to the truth of the gospel, and they embrace the culture rather than Christ of Christianity. Dr. Phelps, I have a little brief story to tell to give an illustration of how some people view it. I remember back in the early 60s, there was a full-time Baptist evangelist known as Bob Harrington. Bob Harrington was on Bourbon Street, and Bob Harrington said on one occasion he met a man and he asked him if he was a Christian, and said immediately the man showed him his Masonic ring, and he said, so your hand is saved, is that what you're saying? He said, but are you saved? Ladies and gentlemen, that particular evangelist pointed out the fact that wearing a Masonic ring doesn't make you saved. Carrying the title of Christian doesn't make you saved. Being involved in a Christian church doesn't make you saved. Being a member of a Baptist church doesn't make you saved. So, Dr. Phelps, we live in an era today of what I call a real misunderstanding of who or what makes one Christian, according to my recent research. There are a number of definitions and descriptions of who is a Christian. I'm thankful to hear the latest statistics that there's a 22% increase in Bible sales this year. Then I was alarmed to hear kind of a footnote to that statement that there's a 22% increase in Bible sales in America. I was a little alarmed and disconcerted to find out that the footnote to that was all of those were in what's called the New Modern translations, because as the commentator said, there are many young people today that's embracing the Bible because in its new versions they can better understand it. Now, I'm not necessarily saying that every single one of those new modern translations are demonic, but I am saying that in every one, without exception, there's some area that is watered down, and that the real truth of the gospel is neutered to the point that you do not get the truth of the Word of God in most of the modern translations today. So, who are the real Christians? How do we identify the real Christian? I believe I have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, good morning, Dr. Youngblood.
Good morning, good morning.
Yes, and I was going to talk about this. When Joe Biden kept saying that he would not do anything to his son, you know, like giving him a reprieve, I say it like that. And he did it anyway. And when he said that we're not going to give any weapons to Ukraine, I think they're trying to set up a failure for Trump. You know, it's like playing chess or whatever. But he is, even the Democrats, some of the Democrats got on his case about that, because he kept saying, no, he's not going to do it. But he did it anyway.
Kenneth, let me jump in and say this. I was so sure, and it still is a potentiality, but now a distant potentiality, of Joe Biden retiring before January the 20th and Kamala Harris taking the seat as president, so that she could be determined to be in the Democrats' talking points, that she would be the first black female president of the United States of America. I put that in one of the broadcasts recently, because Joe Biden had said over and over and over again that he was not going to pardon Hunter Biden. So it was my calculation. He's saying that dogmatically. I will not pardon my son. And I think that he was saying that because the plans were for Kamala Harris to do the pardoning of his son. Now, I've had to reverse my thinking just a little bit, because Joe Biden has come out now, and he's showing that he is really the liar that we've known them to be. He's showing that there's no truth in him. And it goes back to this, and I'll ask you, put you on the spot for a moment, Kenneth, and ask you a question. If Nancy Pelosi can do what she has done in history past, with the constant barrage of lies, with the undermining, and with the lawfare against Donald J. Trump, along with Chuck Schumer, along with not necessarily Chuck Schumer, he's the liar that we know, but then with Joe Biden and others, can we look at it on the basis of Nancy Pelosi, on one of her statements on public television, she said that I'm a practicing Christian. Joe Biden has claimed that he has faith in God and that he is a practicing Christian. Can we identify that kind of mindset, that kind of moral, ethical declension and failure? Is it possible that they're truly saved? What's the problem there in your view?
Okay, in my view, especially, they call themselves, I think it's in the Christianity, Roman Catholic, well, Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. And they are so far off. I mean, Satan has gotten into them so big time.
Kenneth, you are hit the target right on the head, nail right on the head. It is a satanic, demonic delusion that they're living under to think. And by the way, because we're in a Christian nation, we're in a Christian America, because America was founded on Christian biblical principles with our founding fathers, with the majority of them being actual, avid, practicing Christians, then Joe Biden's philosophy is, and Nancy Pelosi's philosophy is, well, I must be a Christian because I'm in a Christian nation. I've never heard them identified in that fashion. But that's the bottom line. The bottom line is that if I have some kind of ism or schism that I believe in and some kind of denominational dogma that I like to embrace, then that must mean I'm a Christian. That's the whole point of the broadcast today, is to identify who are the real Christians. How do we identify a real Christian? And the bottom line is, a real Christian cannot embrace the transgenderism. A real Christian cannot embrace the LGBTQI plus mindset. A real Christian cannot embrace murder by way of abortion. And I could go on and on and on. So I believe in what I want our listeners to understand today is there is a difference in Christians. Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Okay. It's a movie or something that's supposed to be coming out called Wicked or something. And I call both of them, all of them, the Wicked Witch of the East, West, North, and South.
You're right.
Down.
You're right, absolutely. And this is the reason we as Christians, absolute biblical, central biblicist Christians, the reason we ought to continue to rejoice and be thankful for what God has done in the recent election. Kenneth, brother, thank you so much for your call. Keep looking up.
Thank
our
you.
Redemption draweth nigh. I believe we have Bob on the line. Bob, go over the question or comment, please.
Hey, Pastor, I know you probably don't like talking about this, but you brought it up, so I'm going to make a comment. If you go to Luke 10:1 in the King James Version, it will say Jesus sent forth his 70. If you go to Luke 10:1 in the NIV, it will say Jesus sent forth 72. Now, how do you explain that?
I'm not trying to explain that. I don't try to explain that. There's a lot of errors, in my opinion, in some of the modern translations and some major things that were left off. In some of the modern translations, there's a mindset that, if you look at this way and put it personally, in the modern mindset, there's the idea that we know a little better than the translators of the King James and with the original text. Dr. Phelps, how do you respond to Bob?
I have looked at the NIV. At several places, and I've found that they have changed or left out or modified many meanings in the text that are unwarranted, unneeded, unnecessary. Mm-hmm. The King James makes sense, but when they change the words, then it's sometimes nonsense or it doesn't make any sense at all theologically. So many of the New Age versions, I call the NIV the chief among the New Age versions, have in many places perverted the truth of the scriptures and therefore confused the reader. I suggest that we stay with the King James Version because it's changed the lives of many people that I know all of my life. I've seen people's lives made better. I've seen people become believers, become Christians, but I don't know about those who claim to be converted by the NIV and some of the New Age versions today.
Exactly right. We need to be very, very careful. In fact, Bob, one of the things that I find it's so antithetical to biblical truth, you can look at most of the modern translations, and the first place I go, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Most modern translations may say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. The scripture is only begotten. That word only begotten in the Greek text simply means the uniquely born one, which points directly to the virgin birth. Multitudes leave the virgin birth out. Multitudes destroy the truth of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. And the average younger reader in particular that thinks they're doing that because it's easier to read, as they say, they're not understanding and recognizing that more often than not, they're getting a watered-down version, and I'm being polite, a watered-down version of the Word of God. So we need to be very, very careful. But one of the things,
can I say one more thing,
Bob,
Preacher?
Yes, sir. Go ahead. Yes, sir.
Okay. 99% of all of the other versions were edited by Westcott and Hort. I know you know who
You're
they
correct.
Are. But yes. Most people don't know that Westcott and Hort did not believe any major Bible doctrine. None.
You're right. Absolutely.
They
were Catholics.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the people responsible for all of the new Bibles.
Yes. Speak to that, Dr. Phelps.
Another thing that I discovered is that these men were involved in cultic activities, seances, many of the things that we believe that God does not approve of. And so they do not qualify as a man of God in many people's estimation. And so what they recommend, what they have suggested, and what they have pushed upon society is a book that many places have caused people to doubt more than believe God.
By the way, Dr. Phelps is in the final manuscript to critiquing of a new book that he is the author of. Is the Bible trustworthy? Is the Bible trustworthy? And he'll deal with those issues in it. And so I would urge our listeners, when that's out, we'll let you know and make it available through the bookstore here on the campus of Conservative Theological University. Bob, thank you so much, brother, for your call. God bless you, and may we keep looking up. Dr. Phelps, I say there are four kinds of Christians. Four kinds. Number one is the carnal Christian. Carnal Christian. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you've got your Bible, would you read for us 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, 2, and 3, and then let's talk about the carnal Christian. What is a carnal Christian? The Apostle Paul called the believers at Corinth carnal Christians. What does that mean?
I'll read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, three verses. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat. For hitherto, that means up until now, you were not able to bear it, neither are you now are you able. For you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and division, are you not carnal and walk as men?
So what is a carnal Christian?
Well, a carnal Christian is one who is living and walking in the flesh and grieving the Holy Spirit, not walking in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's a person who needs to grow up. He may be a Christian, only God knows, but he has not grown up spiritually. He's not mature in Christ.
Paul was dealing with the church at Corinth, and by the way, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul was not commending them. That is, those in the church at Corinth. He was not commending them, but he was condemning them. He was castigating them for that. And he starts out in that third chapter of 1 Corinthians, the first three verses in particular. Paul said, in essence, Dr. Phelps, that they were carnal, they were weak, they were not committed to the Word, but committed to the world in which they were living in. They were immature, because he says in that text, strife, envying, divisions, walking in the flesh and not in the Holy Spirit. So that's carnal Christians. There are a number of folks today that fall into that category as a carnal Christian. They're saved, but they're living in the world, following the world and the culture of the world, not following the Word and the directions that the Word of God gives us for living our lives. Then Dr. Phelps, there's another one, cultic Christians. Cultic Christians. In fact, they're called Christian cults. Christian cults, multitudes, they're embracing Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness. They're lost. And they're not saved, they're not Christian, even though they claim to be Christian. They claim to be Christian because they say that they embrace the Word of God. They believe the Word of God, but they have their own writings, their own books that take precedence over the Word of God. They let their books, their writings in the Jehovah's Witness cult and in the Mormon cult, they let their writings and their books interpret the Word of God and take precedence over the Word of God, rather than the Word of God being the primary source of what they say and do. In fact, with Jehovah's Witnesses, they say that Jesus Christ was not divine, that he was just created. He was the first created being. Jehovah's Witnesses say that he was a good man, but not created and not divine in his creation. The Mormons teach that Jesus is the brother of Lucifer. They teach that we can become gods, just as Mormonism teaches. Therefore, it's called a Christian cult. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. Right after the news, we'll be right back. Don't turn your dials.
With Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia.